Welcome. May it be a year that brings us peace, peace to all. And it feels really sweet, actually, that we're finishing our series, our little 4-week series on the Brahma Viharas, the divine abodes of the heart, with our fourth Brahma Vihara, which is equanimity. Equanimity seems like a beautiful practice to start the new year with, to explore how do we meet life with a sense of balance, presence, you know, open-hearted ease. Amidst the swirl of everything that life brings forward to us. And this teaching illuminates the way that this is possible. This is possible for us. And equanimity is a teaching that appears in many, many lists of qualities. In the Buddhist teachings, it's often the capstone on many lists. It's like the culmination of different trainings of the heart. And each time we look at equanimity from a slightly different angle, we learn something new about it. So we'll look at, you know, where equanimity falls in this configuration of these heart qualities. So I want to start with practice, as we typically do, and then we'll take a little time to explore this teaching. So gifting yourself the opportunity to nest into this moment. I was watching the birds land on the branches of the tree outside my window this morning before my morning practice today. And they're just such good teachers again and again of this practice of nesting in. You know, they're not shy. They'll land and then they get comfortable. You know, there's like a little wiggle of the tail feathers and sometimes lifting and placing one little foot onto and back onto the branch. So let yourself nest in to the body, to nest in to this moment. There might be a little gentle swaying, side to side or front and back, as you begin to find that balance point where the body can easefully rest into the support that's beneath or behind it. And as you find that place, you might find yourself settling into relative stillness. Not absolute stillness frozen in rigidity, but relative stillness that may still have the smallest bit of sway in it, but there's not an active moving of the body. The body may end up moving itself, but there's an intention to land here in this moment. And from this place of relative stillness, growing into or emerging into a posture of dignity. Perhaps with just a slight lift through the crown of the head, gentle elongation through the spine. And taking care of the body by slowly sweeping the warm sunbeam of your awareness down through the body. Pausing for a few breaths, perhaps, in any of those places in the body that are reservoirs of tension or tightness. Allowing space for a softening, a melting. And I often like that image of melting because it's something that happens slowly, incrementally, and not as the result of effort by that which is melting. So allowing this melting to move through the muscles of the face and the jaw. Letting it cascade down through the neck and the throat, allowing shoulders to melt down the back body and away from the ears. And letting a sense of warmth and ease flow down through the arms and the hands. Perhaps even allowing some subtle movement in the hands or the arms to allow the shoulders to soften and settle even more. And as your awareness flows through the body, if you encounter knotted places in the body that seem impervious to releasing or relaxing, there's no need to struggle with this. often there's a layer of relaxing. Perhaps even imperceptibly, that begins when we simply hold the contracted places in us in kind awareness. And so letting the warm sunbeam of your awareness continue to flow across the torso and around to the back body. As if warm water were washing over any tense or tight places. Softening through the belly and the low back to any degree that the body is willing or able. Breathing into and through the hip joints. Letting your warm awareness wash over and through the legs, inviting a letting go of any bracing or holding that might be here in the lower body. So that any unnecessary efforting and holding the body might be handed off to the support of the earth. Allowing a deeper nesting into being here. And you might let your awareness collect somewhere in the body that feels easeful and enjoyable to connect with. Perhaps the touch points of feet on the floor, or your body against the chair, or the breath. Perhaps experienced in the movement of the abdomen or the diaphragm. Or the rise and fall of the chest. Or the more subtle expansion and release of the breath in the back body. And the way the shoulder blades spread ever so slightly with the inhalation. Come back towards the midline of the body with the exhalation. Or the breath at the nostrils, or the mouth, so gathering your awareness and nesting in more intimately to a particular home base in the body. As a way of connecting with being here. Here. And when you find yourself caught up in thinking, in the stickiness of wanting things to stay a particular way, or in the tension of not wanting things to be a particular way, let yourself come home to that resting place in the body. Resting into being here. Here. Sometimes even a silent whisper of the word here in those moments when we're pulled into past or future can help us come home. you find yourself being for or against a particular moment, just as it is, of liking or disliking an experience, a sound, a sensation, an emotion, or a thought that's passing through, explore what it's like to nest back into this moment. To rest into being here. Here. Receiving moments as they come and go. Life's like this, just like this, in this moment. And as we come to the final minutes of our practice today, letting yourself consider how might this capacity for being present in a balanced way without being for or against experience, how might this translate into action that might be of benefit to the world as you touch it today? This capacity for being here in the center of all things. To perhaps help create a world where all beings know a measure of safety and peace and ease. May all beings in some way know the freedom of living without entanglement, with being for or against things. May it be so. So lovely to be with you here this dawn of a new year. So lovely to have you join us, Gabriela. And just want to share a few thoughts about equanimity in this context of the Brahma Viharas, these heavenly abodes, these heart qualities that can enrich our lives. And if we think about this context, these four Brahma Viharas, kindness, compassion, sympathetic joy, and now equanimity, are expressions of the heart. They're expressions of love. We could even say they're expressions of life. And it's kind of interesting to reflect on, well, what are these really? Sometimes when we read about them or hear about them or think about them, we might think about them as, you know, emotions or attitudes or motivations or decisions that we make. You know, there's many ways we could think about them, and one that I really appreciate that one of my teachers, Gil Fronsdale, talks about quite frequently is that they're choices. They're choices we make in how to orient and activate and cultivate the heart. It reminds me of some of you may be familiar with the Native American teaching story that's sometimes told about a grandmother and a grandchild. And the grandmother's telling the story about how there's two wolves that live in my heart. You know, one of hatred and anger and jealousy and agitation, and one of love and kindness and care and, joy and peace. And the grandchild's like, which one wins? Because the grandmother's talking about this war between these two wolves. And the grandchild's like, which one wins? And the grandmother says, the one that I feed. The one that I feed. And we are what we practice. So these practices of the Brahma Viharas offer a pathway to feed and develop that which is wholesome within us. To allow these innate qualities to manifest, to emerge. And so we're not manufacturing something. It's like we're clearing the obstacles that allow these qualities to shine forth. And we can polish these qualities, We're really kind of like diamonds in the rough, and so our practice is polishing us so that we shine more and more. Because it's really a purification process, these practices. Because love, in this complex human incarnation that we all are, is often mixed in with lots of messiness. It's mixed in with needs and preferences and fear and power and status and concerns about security and aversion and, not liking and irritation. And these practices are a pathway to purifying. So as we practice with these, for instance, loving kindness is purified and we're freeing the heart of hatred. When we practice compassion, it's a purification. We're freeing the heart of cruelty. And when we're really honest with ourselves, we all have shades of these qualities of hatred or cruelty. It may show up, we may not be out there killing people, but, there are those times, even in our own minds, where we have unkind or impatient thoughts. It may or may not come out of our mouths, but there's an energy that we're all continually refining and purifying. Joy is a purification. It frees the heart of envy and jealousy. And then equanimity is freeing us from what's sometimes called greed and repulsion. It's this quality of being for or against something. We have these ways of grabbing hold of or pushing away things, and equanimity just is an allowing quality. And all of these heart qualities, as we practice them, is also a purification from self-absorption. It's all a turning from me, 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 which gets a lot of attention in our culture, to a consideration of others. Opening the heart, turning toward the world, leaning in to both the joys and the sorrows. And so equanimity is this quality that typically comes last in the list. Because it sort of wraps itself around and supports the others, because it's really the balanced, non-reactive heart. It's not agitated by life. It's able to rest back and bear witness. Oh, it's like this. I don't have to be for or against this moment, even if I don't like it. Or I don't have to be for or against not liking this moment. You know, sometimes we get caught there. It's like, oh, I hate what's going on right now. And then we get all tangled up in hating the hating of what's going on. So equanimity is this unfurling. It's this relaxing. The Pali word, that language from the Buddha's time, for equanimity is upekkha, and it's translated to see or to view. So in some ways, upekkha or equanimity is like this capacity to have a wider view, you know, maybe even a bird's eye view. We often get really lost, you know, in the details of like what's here. And often if we can step back, you ever have that experience of like stepping back and it's like I can take a breath and see the bigger picture and there's less agitation. So that's sort of part of the quality of equanimity. And it's a choice, you know, circling back to this possibility of framing these practices, these qualities as a choice. Equanimity is inviting us moment by moment. Can I make the peaceful choice here in this moment? You know, can I offer space or hospitality in some way to what's happening right now? To not be at war with the moment, which allows peace to bubble up. You know, it kind of melts our hearts open, that quality in the practice of melting is not, you know, an effortful event. It sort of happened, you know, the snowman just sort of melts slowly. He's not working hard to melt. It's just this natural softening that happens. And it's not, making the peaceful choice is different than making a passive, you know, it's not a passive choice, it's not an uninvolved choice. It's just a choice of, can my heart soften around this? Can it hold this? Can it open to what's here? Because it's already here. You know, often we don't have a choice of what's showing up. We just have a choice in how we meet it. One last piece I'll offer before our sharing is there's often what's described these near and far enemies of these heart qualities, these things that are clearly opposite. So, you know, equanimity, the clear opposite is greed and repulsion. It's like that's clearly not equanimity. And then there are these things that are closer in that are sort of near enemies. They sometimes masquerade, and sometimes that's described as indifference or passivity. Sometimes it's also described, and again, this comes from Gil Fronsdale for me, it's described as ignorant equanimity. So there's a quality of ignorance in the piece, like ignorant about the dangers of the world. And sometimes that ignorance flows from our privilege. Like I'm living in a pretty safe world here, you know, I have perhaps resources available to me because I'm white or because I'm middle class or educated. And part of equanimity is actually seeing clearly. So that translation of to see or view is seeing clearly the dangers in the world and to practice balance and presence in the face of that. And I think 2020 has been a profound year in teaching us all about the vulnerability of being human. You know, none of us have escaped COVID. you know, it's impacted us in different ways, but there's a fragility to being human. So how can we be equanimous in the face of that? And how might we carry these lessons into this new year of 2021? How might we translate this capacity for balanced presence into action, to maybe even be agents of change, to build a world that fosters more peace for everyone? Kind of reminds me, going way back to my upbringing in more of the Christian Catholic tradition, of that hymn of, like, let, you know, there be peace on earth, let it begin with me. You know, I think there's wisdom, long, deep threads of wisdom tradition in every faith. And so I just offer these reflections, and I'll offer us a little time in breakout rooms. And if it speaks to you, maybe having a conversation about equanimity, like, how does this speak to you? How might you make the peaceful choice in 2021? How might your own equanimity be part of a collective effort towards change and a broader sense of peace? So let's give you a little time together and enjoy each other's company in this topic. Welcome back. And I'll just see briefly if there's anything that wants to be said before I close with a poem. So these practices of love, these different manifestations of love, are rich terrain to visit and revisit and to let them reveal yourself, themselves to you, these different flavors. And so I thought I would end with a poem by, as you all know, one of my favorite poets, Rosemary Wetola Tromer, entitled The Path of Love. And here I thought the path of love would look like love, like kindness, like generosity, like gentleness. Instead, it looks like me being bothered by the sound of loud chewing, me wanting praise, me needing to feel loved. Hello, me. How elegantly love has arranged for me to meet all the parts of me that would stand in love's way. How easily it shows me I've thought of love as a destination. But here is love with no expectation. Here is love with no name, no locus. Here is love with no face, no shape, no promise, no vow, no hope. Here is love as itself, surging and flowing, love as itself insisting on love. Love is itself eroding all those layers of me that still think they know something about love. And love holds me while I rail, and love throws me back in the stream, and love is what is still here when I am not. So, you know, this process of purifying the heart through these practices is a magnificent and messy one, and we often meet all of our less admirable parts along the way. So if, as you're working with these qualities of the heart, and you ever have the thought, oh, this is not working, you know, I'm not being kinder, I'm not being more equanimous or balanced or compassionate, it very likely is a sign that it is working, because it's wearing away all those layers. As she says, you know, how elegantly love has arranged for me to meet all the parts of me that would stand in love's way. So take heart and take good care, and I will look forward to hopefully seeing you all next week, and I don't know where we'll go next. So we'll see. We'll see what comes forward, and I always welcome your thoughts or feedback or input or interest, so you're always welcome to send me a little email too. All right. Take good care, everyone. Okay. Bye. Good to be with you.